Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Today, of course, is Veterans Day, and we certainly want to thank all the veterans in our listening audience for the work that they have done in keeping America safe and also in just suffering so much personal loss in order to go on the front lines, many of them, and even behind the scenes, many others. And having done such a great job in this country. Oh, what a wonderful country it is, and what a wonderful group of men and women that we have serving in our armed forces, and we just want to commend them today. I was reading a recent story, and maybe you saw this, but Hillary Clinton had made some comments recently about the VA. Now, when we speak about honoring our veterans, that's got to be more than just lip service. It's got to be more than just, you know, well-wishing on one day out of the year. There's got to be some, you know, real teeth to that, i.e. the benefits that they receive. And certainly one of the benefits that they should receive is good health care. But Hillary Clinton, in some recent comments, commenting on the widespread or the well-known issues with the VA, she said that they were not as widespread as had been reported, and that the veterans are satisfied with the care that they are receiving. Now, these types of comments, of course, started a firestorm, especially from the veterans themselves, who spoke out against some of these things that she had said, and just found it incredulous that she would make those types of comments. Well, just recently here, in fact, just yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, it says this: Hillary Clinton vows to fight VA privatization, but Democratic hopefuls say private providers should deliver some care. So now she's kind of singing a different tune. The article goes on to say this: Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton offered her version for veterans health care Tuesday, promising to fight full-fledged privatization while allowing the government to contract with private providers for a range of health services. In her proposal, Mrs. Clinton struck a balance between support for the traditional government-run veterans health programs while acknowledging that many veterans want to access care from private providers as well, given the system's failings. So now all of a sudden, she is admitting that there are systemic, in fact, the article goes on to say this, that she, quote, these problems are serious, systemic, and unacceptable. Well, just recently, she's talking out of two sides of her mouth, basically, because recently she said that they were not that widespread, that it was really just the Republicans that were bringing these things up, and pretty much veterans were pretty satisfied with the care that they were receiving. So this is what we want to talk about on the program here today. We want to look at this issue, and we want to look at it to see exactly what is being said here. What about Hillary Clinton's vision? Is it something that will fix the VA now that she's singing a different tune? Or is it more of basically what we saw under the Obama administration? Well, who better to talk to than Dan Caldwell? Dan is a legislative and political director for Concerned Veterans for America. And if you want to go out to their website in order to learn more about them, let me give it to you right here at the top of the hour. The website is CV4A, and 4 is the number 4. So it's cv4a.org, and you can go out there to read some of these articles that we'll be referring to and to see much more about exactly what Concerned Veterans for America is all about. Dan, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, Dan, let's talk about this issue. Hillary Clinton made quite a statement just a few weeks ago. Let's talk about that statement first. What did you guys think when you heard her make those types of points that the problem wasn't that widespread?
Well, personally, I was kind of shocked. And I was shocked that somebody could be that tone deaf and out of touch with the fact that there were massive and very widespread problems across the VA. Even some of the VA's biggest offenders have had to acknowledge that these problems are throughout the entire VA. 70% of VA hospitals are using secret wait lists. Hundreds of thousands of veterans are on these secret wait lists. Hundreds of thousands of veterans are either in a disability claims backlog or they were in the backlog waiting for an application for their health care. To say it's not widespread is completely delusional and just shows that she was detached from reality when it comes to the problems of the VA. But I think that she knew exactly what she was saying. Reading her statements afterwards and then her plan yesterday, it's very clear that they have made a decision, has a campaign, and they want to double down and defend the system. They view that as a system, as do a lot of people that support more government-controlled health care. They view that system as a model for what government-run health care looks like. So in retrospect, even though I was shocked, it looks like it was very intentional. They did have to try and walk it back because the backlash was so strong, but they knew exactly what they were doing on that front.
Remind our listening audience, what do you mean when you talk about secret wait lists for veterans?
So the VA scandal last year was centered around the fact that VA hospitals across the country were using secret wait lists to hide the true amount of time that it was taking for veterans to receive appointments at VA hospitals, and they were doing this to show better wait times and better appointment completion times so that executives and other schedulers could get bonuses. Problem was that when these veterans on their wait list, they weren't receiving appointments, they weren't receiving timely health care, and dozens, if not hundreds, and possibly even thousands, likely died while on those secret wait lists, either directly or indirectly, as a result of receiving delayed and denied care. And it was found to be nationwide. In Phoenix, Arizona, where I was from, where the scandal really began, originally it was believed that 40 veterans died on these secret wait lists. It was later found that 250 or more were actually on those secret wait lists and died. Now, what is in dispute is whether or not that they died directly as a result of the wait list or indirectly. But I think if you look at the particular cases, it's pretty indisputable that those veterans died because of these inappropriate scheduling practices. You know, for example, if you're trying to get an appointment because you're having stomach issues and you can't get an appointment for 3, 4, 6 months and it found out later that this pain in your stomach was a result of cancer and the cancer was diagnosed too late, quite clearly, I think you and your listeners would quite clearly believe that they died as a result of a secret wait list. So that's what we say when we refer to secret wait lists and why it was such a big problem.
Now, most politicians, they try to connect with vets, especially during these political season, and yet we found Hillary Clinton making these statements that clearly the veterans themselves didn't appreciate. But you're saying that was a calculated move because they've got themselves in a corner here a little bit. If they talk about the VA as being, you know, really poorly managed, really poor service, they're basically making statements about the idea of government-run healthcare, which, of course, is what Obamacare would like to be, and is in some level, but would like to be in its full fruition. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And they have convinced themselves that because there is a large number of veterans who, once they are in the system, like VA healthcare, if they're able to get an appointment in a timely manner, they like the health care, that they can defend the system. However, what they ignore is that, you know, majority of vets are concerned about, you know, the long excessive wait times, and it's getting that care and actually getting in the door, which is the problem. And also, too, they ignore the fact that and as our polling has found, is that 90% of veterans support more reform at the VA and close to 90% support offering more healthcare choices in the private sector. So even if they like the VA healthcare and they're in the system and they're satisfied with their care, they still want those extra options because they recognize that their hospital could get a new administrator, they could get a new doctor, and that quality of care could decline.
Mm-hmm.
And they need an option to go somewhere else. They also, too, finally recognize that there are a lot of veterans, including themselves at times, that can have a hard time getting access to certain services within the VA system, and that is a problem.
Hmm. I could never really understand the VA from the standpoint of when we decided to give veterans continuing education and they got the GI Bill. We didn't ask the government then to go ahead and build a college or university where they could specifically go then to that government-run university. They gave them vouchers, basically, and you could take it anywhere to go. And I don't know why we had to create this massive bureaucracy of the VA system, which has now resulted in extremely poor management, poor service, these wait times you were talking about, and so forth, these scandals, one after the other. And why we didn't just hand them, why can't we just hand them a voucher or somehow just pay their medical bills with their private doctors?
You bring up some interesting points, and you allude to an important point about the GI Bill and some other VA programs, successful VA programs like the GI Bill and the Home Loan Program. The key factor in that is you have the choice of where to use those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose your bank for the VA home loan. You can choose your university if it's accredited with the GI Bill. With the VA healthcare system, your VA health benefits, you don't have that choice. Now, the VA hospital system was created really in the 1920s because in many ways, there was not a modern American health care system that was able to deal with the millions of veterans coming back from World War I and their unique health needs.
Mm.
And really, there was a justification for the current structure up until World War II, but then you have this modern health care system developed within the United States, and the VA health care system, because it wasn't exposed to competition, because there wasn't that incentive to compete with the private sector, and, you know, there wasn't the ability for veterans to choose. That's why you had some of the problems you have now. We're big advocates of choice.
Mm-hmm.
A voucher system is not the preferred way to deliver that healthcare choice. We at CVA supported the choice card and its creation, but that's had some problems mainly because of how the VA has implemented it. Mm-hmm. We believe in offering choice through subsidized insurance plans specifically for veterans that they can use at private providers, or they can continue to use the VA, which we propose some serious reforms to. And that's the key thing is the choice, because veterans should be able to choose where they can spend their health care dollars. I think that they've earned that right since they've chosen now to serve their country.
Right.
And that is clearly something that they've earned, and other VA programs offer that. I think you could have that within the VA system as well, too.
Right. Dan, let me ask you, when you talk about the problems in the VA, what exactly is the problem when we hear about all these wait times? Is it not enough doctors? Is it a money problem? Is it a poor management problem? I mean, where's the real problem that people are waiting this long?
We don't believe it's a money problem. If you look at the VA's budget, on both a top line and per patient level, it's massively increased. At a per-patient level, it's really doubled, you know, since the war on terror began, and it's continued to increase significantly. Yes, you've had more demand. Actually, interestingly enough, not solely as a result of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, they've expanded eligibility to larger pools of veterans who didn't previously qualify for VA health care. That's a big reason why, and the economy as well, too, drove more people in the system, along with Obamacare. That's driven more people in the system, but you've had more resources allocated to VA that's outpaced that demand. The biggest problem is, frankly, that it is a government-run healthcare system constrained by red tape.
Mm.
You can't run a healthcare system under the same rules you run the Department of Education. They can't respond to demand quickly. If you look at the VA waitlist scandal, most of the hospitals that were hardest hit were in the Sun Belt region, like Arizona, Georgia, Florida, other places like that, because that's where you've seen a shift in the growth of veteran population. And you had a lot of hospitals in the Northeast where there'd been a shrinking that had excess capacity, and the VA was not able to properly allocate resources and adjust their resources based on the changing demographics in a rapid manner. You know, it takes 5, 6, 7, 8 years to build one of these VA hospitals. Mm-hmm. By the time a VA hospital has come online in an area, you very well might have seen a significant change in the veteran population, and they have excess capacity or under capacity, depending. So they haven't been able to rapidly respond to changing, you know, demographics like a private healthcare system could probably better do. That's probably been one of the biggest, and just a lack of accountability within the system. If you know you can't get fired for not doing your job or engaging in misconduct, there is no incentive to do the right thing, and there's no incentive to perform well within the system. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big thing here, is people know they can't get fired. Some of the key people at the Phoenix VA that were responsible for the secret wait list, they are already been found to be involved. The inspector general found they were to be involved. They're still on paid administrative leave, a year and a half out from the scandal. Mm. And they've been sitting at home, getting paid, and doing nothing. It's absurd.
Yeah.
So those two things are really what's been really driving the problems at the VA that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dan Caldwell, legislative and political director for Concerned Veterans for America. If you got a question or a comment you want to make about veterans or veteran care, we got a few minutes, maybe 8-10 minutes or so left in the program. I'd be happy to take a quick call with your comment or quick question. That number here is 1-888-660-660. WLFJ, that's 1-888-660-9535, and Mobile Cell Repair is sponsoring their calls here today. So if you want to make a call there, call to us, you're certainly welcome to do that. Mobile Cell Repair, by the way, their website is www.mobilecellrepairs.com. You can check them out on the web. They come to you, which is really nice, unlike the VA. They come directly to you, and they've got really good care, unlike the VA. Let me ask you, Dan, this new proposal then by Hillary Clinton, are you guys for it or against it?
We don't believe that it's a good proposal to reform VA health care. They double down on the same failed system. They show a hostility to offering veterans more choice. There's some contradictory language in there saying that they want it to be veteran-centric, but at the same time, they want to leave the VA in charge of coordinating all health care for veterans. So if you look at that, what they're really saying is that ultimately a VA bureaucrat is still going to be the gatekeeper for all care within the VA system.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of the biggest problems at the VA. It can't be veteran-centric if a VA bureaucrat is still in charge. If you build it around a VA bureaucrat and not the veteran, then it can't be veteran-centric. Again, even with this, I was a bit surprised, is that they are very, very hostile towards offering veterans more health care choices in the private sector. Now, they might come back and say, well, we think that we should contract out on a temporary basis with, you know, private health care providers, but the key element missing from that is the concept of choice. A veteran usually cannot choose to use those contracts. They have to. That again, is dictated by the VA bureaucrat, and when they're in the mix, that's when you start to see problems.
Mm-hmm. I would think right away a couple of things come to my mind that this would be problematic would be seems like it's a recipe for cronyism again, you know, that those other outside sources that would be selected to provide the service then for the VA, you know, there's a very big temptation there to choose your people to do that. And so I would just think that could be a problem. Secondly, when you talk about that they would still be in charge, the government being in charge of the management portion of it, well, that's what the problem is here. And so it doesn't seem to fix a whole lot, like you mentioned. It's their management skills that seem to be wanting. And so it doesn't appear that it would really change much. Do you think that this is just This is damage control. This is the way that the Wall Street Journal article that I referred to in the beginning of the program sees it, that this is more damage control from Hillary Clinton to try to make up for her previous statements about the problems not being widespread.
I do think at some level it is, but I think they are always planning to double down on the system, and that they're very intentional about this. Some of their groups that support them released polling that purported to claim that veterans don't support privatizing the system, but if you read the question, they're actually asking them about a plan and proposal that doesn't exist. So it's been a little misleading. I think they've been intentional and kind of at some level said to themselves that we maybe want this fight. The problem is that at the end of the day, what they're proposing is not going to wind up working, one, on a policy level. And I think they'll find it when it's really explained will not be very popular and widely accepted with a lot of veterans.
Hmm. On the GOP side, Dan, is who is the, out of the current candidates running, who's the champion for VA issues?
Well, we as a group have done town halls now with Senator Cruz, Senator Paul Rubio, Governor Bush, and we're going to be doing one with Carly Fiorina coming up. All of them have talked about these issues and have laid out their thoughts to fix it. Senator Rubio legislatively has done a lot on the issue. Senator Cruz as well, too. And then Governor Bush put out a very comprehensive plan, definitely more comprehensive than Hillary's plan, on this issue that has some very good ideas and lays out in better detail of what he would do and propose as president. So, you know, those five have been good. And also, you know, Ben Carson as well, too, laid out a plan. He kind of left open what would happen to the VA, actual current VA integrated medical system, mm-hmm. in his plan. We at CVA have, you know, we talked to his campaign, we've given him some suggestions on how to work around that. But he's gone out and proposed some stuff. He just needs to flesh out some of the finer details as well, too.
Mm. But no one in particular that you said not only – well, you talked about a couple of the senators have obviously done some legislative work on these things. Of course, they would be in the position to do that. But all of them that you mentioned there, all of them would be at least verbally supporting, helping the VA more and trying to fix some of these problems. I was interested to hear when you said that Jeb Bush did as well. We don't have much time to go into this, but I was just wondering, is the problems that we see with the VA, is as bad as the Obama administration is, these problems existed prior to the taking of office by President Obama, right? I mean, everything wasn't rosy under the Bush administration as well, right?
Yes, they there were problems, but they had people in charge there at different times that are more willing to address them more aggressively, and frankly, were willing to hold people more accountable. And frankly, the Bush administration saw that these problems were becoming bad at the 2008 and warned the Obama administration about them. The incoming administration, they were frankly ignored. And yeah, there's all going back to when the VA became a cabinet level department, and then even further back than that, there has been what we call a cycle of reform and failures. You'll fix it, it'll be good for a few years, and then it'll get bad again. And that's been consistent. But yes, some of these problems and some of the undercurrents for them existed under the Bush administration, but I think indisputably, they got significantly worse and boiled over under the Obama administration.
Well, Dan, we really appreciate you coming on the program today to tell us about some of these issues that are taking place with the Veterans Affairs and specifically, obviously, the VA hospital. We appreciate the work you guys do there at Concerned Veterans for America, and thanks again for coming on the program.
thank you for having me, and look forward to coming on again. Thank you.
Excellent. That was Dan Caldwell, and again, as I mentioned at the top of the program, Dan is the legislative and political director for Concerned Veterans for America. Their website is www.cv4a.org. That's CV for Concerned Veterans for America, but the four is the number four. So cv4a.org, and you can go out there to read more. You can read that article that we were referring to, the CVA's comments about Hillary Clinton's reform plan. Also, some of those events that Dan referred to, you can see that out on their website and much more. We'll be back in just a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.